Turning this evening to Mark 8, verse 14 through to verse 21. Mark chapter 8, verses 14 to 21. And in this eighth chapter, you have that miracle of the feeding of the 4,000 with the seven loaves and the fish, and how the Lord multiplied that particular provision for the people there, and a great miracle was wrought. And then in verses 10 through to 13, we have the Pharisees coming, questioning Jesus, demanding a sign from him, and how this brought sadness and grief in the heart of the Saviour. And he would say, "Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation." And then in verse 14 is to where we're going to turn this evening. We read Mark 8, verse 14. "Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not, yet neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember, when I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They say unto him, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, How is it that ye do not understand?" The Lord Jesus has been in the region of Dalmanutha, and these signs and wonders had been demanded from the Lord by the Pharisees at that time. And this is despite the many miracles that have been performed by him. At their heart, they wanted to see the spectacular. And despite all of the evidence, despite all of the mighty works that were being accomplished, they were still no more ready to admit and to recognize and to submit to the kingship of Christ. Rather, at their heart, they wanted to discredit the Saviour and do all that they could in order that others would be deterred from him. And so, if the Lord were to grant their desire, they still would not have been satisfied, neither would they have believed. This mighty miracle of the feeding of the 4,000 takes place. And this is the backdrop to this journey that the Lord will now take across the water. And so the Lord brings to his disciples in the privacy of this journey on the boat instruction and application for them to learn from and to have applied. When we think about all these miracles that the Lord did, or the parables that he spoke, or the teachings that he gave his disciples, these were not clever words. These were not just nuggets of truth. These things were for them to understand and to equip them and for them to live by. The Word of God is not merely a historical book. Although when it speaks about history, it is fact. It is not merely a theological textbook, but it is upon which we base our theology or our understanding of God entirely upon. And so when we think about what the Lord says to his disciples, it has a response, it must have an application in the heart. And when the word of God is preached, it is the same thing that must take place. It must be applied. And if we are reading the Bible on our own or in our family or hearing it in the Lord's house, we must come with this question: what does this passage mean for me? How is it to be applied to my life? How is it exposing sin? How is it correcting a faulty thought that I have? How does it give me a better view of the Saviour? And we must pray that the Lord would grant to us understanding. And as we come to verses 14 to 21, we have it very clearly. The Lord gives a statement. He gives a very clear teaching. And yet the disciples do not understand, and therefore it is not applied to their hearts. So the Lord here would use the miracle of the feeding of the 4,000 to emphasize their foolish reasoning and understanding. And so the disciples are leaving this place called Dalmanutha. They're heading back across the Sea of Galilee. And there has been an oversight on their part. Verse 14, now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. So there is the Lord, the 12 disciples in this boat. And they only have one loaf of bread. Now we could spend time thinking about the way in which they were ill-prepared for this journey and from this crossing. This one loaf of bread would not suffice all of these people on the boat. But that is not the important lesson that we have in these verses. Really, verse 14 sets the scene for us and for the present discussion that the Lord would give to his disciples. So we have in verse 15, the Lord saying to them, he charged them saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And so we have in verse 15 this warning from the Saviour, the warning of Christ to his disciples. The Lord isn't making any reference to their oversight, but really is making a statement for them to take heed. It's as if the events that have proceeded with the feeding of the 4,000, the Pharisees coming forward with their desire for a sign and for the spectacular, is weighing heavy upon the Saviour's mind at this point. And really what he says in verse 15 is in response to what has gone before in verses 10 to 13 in particular, and has nothing to do with the fact that they've not brought any bread on the boat for this journey. And the Lord gives them this charge. He makes them to be cautious and to be aware. And they are to gain serious attention to what is to follow. They were to be told something of utmost importance, something of great solemnity. The Apostle Paul would give a charge, as the Lord gives his disciples here. He charged them, the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4 says to Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and kingdom, to preach the word. This is not an optional extra for them. This is not just some piece of good advice for them to take or to leave. They were charged with this. Take heed. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. They were to pay attention. This was not some good advice from an equal. This was the advice, this was the counsel and instruction from their master and from their teacher, from their sovereign and from their Lord. And they were to hear, and therefore they were to obey what was said. And so the Lord charges them to take heed. They were to be on their guard. They were to be vigilant and awake to the dangers that would come toward them. They were to pay special attention to these two particular areas. They were to take heed. This wasn't a scant survey or lip service to the dangers that were around, but one that required effort and diligence. During the Second World War, there was a part of the civil defences known as the Royal Observer Corps, and they were set up particularly around the coast to look out for enemy planes and enemy ships coming in. And they had to be on their lookout. They had to be on their guard. It was an important responsibility to look out for the enemy. And when they saw the enemy, they had to make necessary warnings. It reminds us of the watchman that we read about in Ezekiel 33. And so these Royal Observer Corps, they would have to scan the horizon day in, day out, Some days, some weeks would go by and nothing would be seen, but nevertheless, they had to be out there looking and surveying. Because if they weren't on their guard, if they weren't vigilant, if they weren't paying attention to the danger that was before them, the enemy could sneak in and could overwhelm and could invade. And so that is what the Royal Observer Corps did in the Second World War. But the Lord is telling his disciples to be of that same mind, that they are to take heed, they are to be on their guard, they are to be on the lookout for these particular dangers. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Why was it that they were to be on such high alert? Why was it that they were to have such vigilance upon their ministries and throughout their lives? They were to be aware and on their guard concerning the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. What are we talking about? What is the Lord referring to? Is he talking about their culinary expertise or the way in which they cook their meals, that kind of thing? No. He is speaking about the leaven or the teaching that they would bring, their life ideals. This isn't literal leaven or literal yeast. This is a spiritual picture that helps us to see the effect of a little bit of Pharisaism or a little bit of Herodian type doctrine, how this can permeate and how it can cause great damage to individuals and to the local church. Leaven is yeast. And when you put it into the dough, it makes the bread to rise. And all you need is just a little bit. And then as the bread rises, it has a considerable effect. We read from Galatians chapter 5 and verse 9 how a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Just a tiny amount has great effect. And again in 1 Corinthians 5 verse 6, it repeats the same thing. And so the Lord is using this picture to explain and to illustrate this spiritual truth. And so the Lord is telling his disciples to be on their guard about the doctrine and the teaching of the Pharisees and of the position the Herodians would take. Their false teaching, although it seemed very small, although it seemed very insignificant perhaps, yet it would have a devastating effect upon the whole if it were to gain ground. A little bit goes a long way and it would have a wide-reaching effect. And this small, false error that may come permeates and pervades all the way through. And a little bit does a great deal of harm. We read from Galatians 5 and also from Ezra chapter 9. And there you see how sin had gotten in. In Ezra's day, there was that mixing with the nations round about, in marriages in particular. You say, well, that surely doesn't have a great effect, but it drew the people away from God. It drew them into worshipping idols a little bit. A small alliance in the grand scheme of the nation had a devastating effect upon the nation. We read from Galatians 5. And there we see an instance where when people start to add ceremonies and put more emphasis upon the ceremony and the rite rather than Christ, how it can pervade and how it can cause great damage. And so the Lord calls his disciples to be on their guard against these two things, the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. The teaching of the Pharisees, the leaven of the Pharisees, was characterized by legalism, formalism, traditionalism, and nothing more than a dead religion. We've often thought about the Pharisees as to how they would put their man-made laws above the precepts and commands of God. They were much more concerned with the outward appearance than with the heart work. They were much more concerned with going through the rituals and the ceremonies than they were with a heart that was right before God. They loved the traditions of the elders more than the revealed word of God. And Jesus deals with their hypocrisy on a number of occasions. Mark 7 verse 4 Again, speaking about the Pharisees, when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold as the washing of cups, pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Verse 8, and they laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And so the Lord is calling his people, his disciples here, to be on their guard, to take heed about this permeating effect of the doctrine of the Pharisees, of this legalism and of this traditionalism. You may say, well, I don't see many Pharisees today going around in their long robes. Well, their teaching still exists. We find people that are very concerned with tradition and with the directions of those who have gone before. There be those who add to the scriptures, those that add extra requirements to salvation, that they would say that you cannot be saved unless you have done this, that, and the other. There be others who would say that in order to be a Christian, in order to be baptized, you have to go and you have to demonstrate years and years of this particular attitude and behavior. Those that add to the scripture, those who put great emphasis upon the ceremonies, and going through the rituals and making sure all is done as it has always been done. And yet losing the life and the real spiritual essence of worshipping God. The Apostle Peter was guilty of this kind of behaviour on one occasion when he ate certain foods, and Paul has to deal sharply with him. And if we find ourselves being drawn and being overwhelmed by traditionalism and formalism, it can suck the very life out of the church if it gets in. Just a little bit can cause great damage. And so we have to be on our guard that our procedures, our institutions, our constitutions are governed entirely by the Word of God and are not governed by our own thoughts and our own reasoning and of our own dictate. As Paul speaks to the Corinthian church, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A little hypocrisy, a little legalism or a little formalism permeates and can affect the whole fellowship. So we must be on our guard. Take heed. Be vigilant. Be very aware of that leaven of the Pharisees. It may come very small, but can have a devastating effect. But the Lord doesn't stop here. He comes and says, beware of the leaven of Herod. In Matthew 16, we have how it is the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of the Sadducees. And here we have in Mark 8, the leaven of Herod. You may say, oh, that's a little bit of a difficulty. Well, the Sadducees, they were the ones that were the courtiers of Herod in his day. And those that were of the sect of the Sadducees were the liberals of the day. They were the ones who fought against the legalistic position of the Pharisees and the traditional and stand of the Pharisees. The Sadducees were the progressives. They were the modernists. They were the ones that wanted to change everything. And they wanted to do what they wanted to do. And the Sadducees, by and large, were only interested in the material realm. They denied the immortal soul and the resurrection. In Mark 6 and verse 18 and following, we have these kind of people described. We have in verse 18, the Herodians. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. And as you go through the account of Herod in that chapter, you see the partying lifestyle, the living for the here and now. Very reminiscent of the world in which we live. Men and women living for entertainment. The eat, drink and be merry philosophy of life. Live for your wants, your desires and your emotions. Don't worry about other things of spiritual nature. Just enjoy yourself. Strive for what the world offers. And so the Lord is not only saying beware of the leaven of Pharisees, but beware of the leaven of the Herodians or of the Sadducees. Again, how can this affect us? Well, you can see how the world has a great effect upon us. And it can have a great effect upon the local church and upon us as individuals. It can come very subtly. We might start thinking like the world, start behaving like the world, start adapting to be more like the world. And so there becomes no difference between the world and the church. We can approach the Lord's work in a very carnal fashion, in a very worldly idea. Everything becomes about numbers and quantifying success. We seek to make sure that our services are geared for the seeker, so that they feel comfortable, so they feel at ease with what is being done. We shouldn't put obstacles in the place of people, but we know that the preaching of the gospel is an offence to the natural heart and to the natural man. We can assess as to whether somebody is a good preacher or not by how they appeal to us, rather than what is being said. Many church Christian organizations can start off well, but then they adopt the line that they must be like businesses, and they can be more concerned with budgets and finances rather than on maintaining their basis of faith. And you can see how the world can get in. A little bit can have a great effect, not for the good, but for destruction. I'm sure I've given you this illustration before. I can't take any credit for it. Pastor John Thackway, I heard him a few years ago say it, that the world is a bit like the ocean. The church is a bit like a boat. All the time, the water, the ocean is outside of the boat will float. All the time the world is outside of the church will be strong and healthy. But if you get that ocean creeping into that boat, what happens? The boat starts to sink. And when the church permeates into the church, it causes the church to sink. What do we see in our nation today? The world has got into the church. The world has permeated. And it only takes a little. And we find the devastating effect that has occurred. And so a little bit of worldliness will destroy a church. And so the Lord here brings these twofold warnings. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And we must have both of those views very much in our gaze at both at the same time. It can be easy to be on our guard against one certain aspect, and the other one can come sweeping through like a flood. We can focus upon the other and be negligent to what is coming from the other direction. It can be possible for a church, for a nation, to swing like a pendulum. You're so concerned that you don't fall into the trap of secularism and worldliness that what happens? You become like the Pharisees. And you can become so concerned that you don't become like the Pharisees that you allow anything to happen, anything to be done, so that nobody could say that you're judgmental or that you're traditional or anything like that. Or how we must be on our guard against these two great dangers. And both of these dangers can start with just a small amount, but cause great damage at the same time. And the Lord, having given this instruction and giving this great warning, the disciples, they come up with this conclusion in verse 16. It is because we have no bread. We perhaps may feel a little bit exasperated with the disciples at this point and think to themselves, why is it that you haven't understood? But yet we know our own heart. We know how prone we are. How often we need to be told the same things over and over again. How often does a child need to be given the same direction? And you say, well, why don't you learn? Why don't you understand? That is our natural heart. And we have this proneness to stumble, to be ignorant, and to fall. And so this dissension becomes quite a stir on the boat. There's this questioning, this discussing one with another. Who was it that's forgotten to bring the bread? And we can find ourselves being caught up and not seeing the true state and the true situation that is before us. And wrong conclusions are jumped to. The Lord then has to, in verses 17 through to 21, come with a number of rebukes and questions to them, asking them, showing to them their foolishness and bringing his wisdom. The Lord corrects their erroneous ways and brings them back to where they should have been. He's patient with them. He walks them through so that they might understand. These disciples don't know everything. They do make mistakes. They do forget. They do lack understanding. They do jump to the wrong conclusions. But yet the Lord deals with them in order that they might understand correctly and rightly. What a comfort that is for us when we make the same mistakes. It doesn't give us liberty to do that. It doesn't give us a condoning nature that we say, well, it doesn't really matter. But yet it reminds us of the mercy of our Saviour, that he is willing to come again and to show us and to forgive us. And so he goes through it again to make sure that they understand, and he corrects their way. And he comes with a number of things. He says, what reason ye, because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not, yet neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? And having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember? So there's the question. He's saying, why is it that you do not understand? You've heard with your ears. You have eyes, and don't you see? And then he goes to them and reminds them of the two miracles of provision in verses 19 and 20. When I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They said unto him, 12. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? The Lord is showing to them their foolish reasoning, their foolish conclusion, that it was because they had no bread. The Lord has just proved, the Lord has just demonstrated on these two miraculous events of how he can take that bread and multiply it for all to have what they need. There is a 5,000 being supplied by those five loaves, these 4,000 by the seven loaves. That one loaf they've brought in the boat, it can be multiplied by the Lord. And they have completely missed the point as to what he has said. How is it that you do not understand? We can forget the power of the Lord. We can be overwhelmed by the things of this life. We can miss the point. We can get it so wrong so much of the time, and we do not heed the clear instruction of the Saviour. The Lord is saying to his disciples in verse 15, take heed, be vigilant, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Verses 16 to 21, you have a whole conversation that has nothing really to do with that leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod, and how easily they'd been sidetracked and bypassed through their foolish conclusions. How is it that you do not understand? May we be those who do understand. May we be those who heed the warning of the Saviour, that we are those who are aware and are those who take heed concerning the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. May the Lord guard us against legalism and secularism. May the Lord guard us against mere traditionalism and against worldliness. And may our perspective be spiritual and not temporal. May the Lord help us. And may we as individuals and as a church, be on our guard and not caught up with these sidetracked issues. Amen.